Good morning and welcome to the Daily Recollection. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini. Ashwini?
Sherry, can you not hear me?
Nope. Huh. Now I can.
Okay. Once we become aware that an egocentric orientation, making it all about me, perpetuates indifference to our suffering and everyone else's, we can choose to act in ways that benefit all. All-encompassing generosity is necessarily unselfish. It dissolves egocentricity. Now we're spiritually free, free to be authentically who we are, the creative energy of pure being, participating fully in the moment by moment of the game of life. This week, let's practice with the Bodhi bead. Why do you stay in prison when the door is so wide open, Rumi? Practice becoming aware of karma. Begin this week by creating a deck of cards with each card representing some aspect of your karmic inheritance. Be as creative as you choose. Design a template for the deck, illustrate each card, make word portraits that play with fonts. While it is fine to put any and all karmic tendencies in this deck to get a complete picture of the hand you've been dealt, make sure that you capture those that you suffer with. The karma may be a behavior, a tendency to procrastinate, being overly responsible, a mental thought pattern, obsessing about what others think of you. It might be a physical characteristic, low energy in the mornings, an emotional orientation, sympathy for animals, a relationship, a partner who triggers simmering resentment. Each day, pick a card and make a recording exploring the possibility of not taking this karma personally. Make sure the mentor is part of the conversation. Add to your deck over the course of the week as more examples of karma drop in. Our second assignment, may all beings have peace, love, and joy. Buddhist prayer. Each time that you act from gratitude, generosity, patience, kindness, courage, compassion, or love, take a moment to remember to offer the merit to all beings. At the end of the day, record and listen about your practice with the Bodhi bead. And here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Erin in Massachusetts.
Hello, Erin. What are you seeing?
I did like a deck of cards in my mind. I'm just going to be honest about that. And I, you know, at first it was like, okay, what are the negative things? But I don't know, I spent so much time there, I found it kept rising for me to think about like the good karma. You know? And
yes.
You know?
It's like, We have this information. Thank you, mind. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, and like the good karma for me, which I'm so thankful for, is I think I'm like a human buoy. Like I always rise to joy. Like you cannot keep me down. I just keep rising up. And
so, Erin, do you know that there's a creature in Zen, it's called the Daruma doll.
No.
And what it is one of those, it's made out, it's a plastic blow-up doll, right, that's weighted on the bottom. I'm sure it was different in past times, but it's weighted on the bottom, so no matter how many times you push it over, no matter how many times you knock it down, it just pops right back up again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can relate?
I've seen.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not that version of the toy, but I have strong memories of that kind of toy. Yes.
And being that kind of person.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know. It's sort of. I don't know what to say about that. You know, that has. Maybe I can just be neutral about it, but I'm thankful that that's who I am.
Well. May I project?
Please.
Why bother with the other?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Right? Why bother with the negative conversation in the head that's just going to keep telling you the same things when you know who you are?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, you know, you said to me a couple of months ago to give the gift of my centeredness to all I encounter, and I felt like my joy with life and everything that's in front of me is the thing that gives me centeredness. And I yes. hope that that is really reaching people.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it is. And what would prevent that?
Yeah, nothing.
Well, but am I doing a good enough job? Shouldn't I have thought of that? But if I were the right person, wouldn't I? Not joyful.
And it's a small circle of acceptance also, you know? Like, I do dumb things. Like, I ran my car into a cement post, and I've got this big scrape, and I was like, okay, I have a choice here about how long I'm going to be unhappy about this.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yes. In fact, Aaron, that's really beautiful, because the length of time that it took to ask that question could have been the length of time. Right? How long am I going to feel whatever about it? Okay, done that.
Yep.
Moving on.
It's just going to cost what it's going to cost. And
that's exactly right.
And it also, like,
that happened.
Last night I was buzzing out of the house, and my husband said to me, go slow. And I was like, oh, yes, that's right. The world keeps telling me to slow down. So,
yes.
Yes. The cement
slow down
things.
And enjoy. Slow down and enjoy the joy.
Yeah. Yep.
Because when we're buzzing, we tend to run right past it.
Yes. Absolutely.
Fabulous.
So, yeah, that's what I have to offer.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Now, don't forget.
I'm holding on. I'm holding on tight.
All right.
The whole thing. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. And Aaron, at some point, maybe slow down enough to put those cards into physical form. Because anything that we keep stored in the head, sooner or later, is going to rot.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Facts. All right.
All right. Go
thank
happy.
You. Yes. Thank you. Too.
Thanks, Aaron. And Aaron, I can't mute you, so if you would mute yourself or call back in, thank you. Such an important encouragement, right, Jerry? Anything that we keep in our head is going to collect that negative energy. It's going to be used in some way, because it is just in the mind.
That's right. It just will.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that's that feeling of just letting it pass through. Even the, I wish I hadn't run into that. I did. Okay. Yeah. And we let it pass through and get right back to the well-being that is our authentic nature.
And I
ruminating.
Exactly. So appreciating the recognition that what we are is the joy. And so it's the joy despite circumstances, not the joy within, or joy within circumstances, not as a result of, right? And
that's
so that's the realization that we keep coming back to.
Yes, that we the joy that we are contains and is beyond the world of duality. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I ran into the post. I didn't run into the post. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. The joy matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Maggie in Victoria.
Hey, Maggie.
Oh, good. hi, Ashwini. So I'm here. it's taken a lot to be here in different ways. I've had some bad luck with trying to get in the queue and. But also have you watched how that's been used to not come into the queue, so that's been good to see. But I realize there's such a thing around participation, that there's this kind of rule of I can't participate until I'm really clear, or I will be misunderstood, and then there will be shame. You know, there will be the experience of shame and I know kind of history of where that's from. So just seeing that, and that I've just been through what I see it right now from this perspective, I really being in the dark room has in short form, but I'm just having a blank place there right at the moment.
Let me reflect what you were saying, right? So it might drop in for you. So there is the awareness that there's karma around participation, right? There's a certain tendency that you're predisposed to, and you're very, very aware of the pattern, right? Mm-hmm. The conditioning is you can only participate if you're clear, or you can only participate if .. whatever it could be, right? I can't put myself in the queue if I can't get unmuted, right? Mm-hmm. There's always a reason being given for a lack of participation.
Yeah.
And oftentimes that puts us in, you know, identifies us with what we're talking about, right? The victim of my own conditioning, the mm-hmm. victim of my karma, the mm-hmm. feeling that I'm impotent against what was given to me that I have to go up against.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And the expanded awareness that we are practicing in practice, in an awareness practice, is the weight of that is not as much as we actually think it is, right? Because in any moment, I can put myself in the queue. In any moment, I can cut through that conditional sense of conditioning.
Yes.
And oftentimes, being in the dark room really, really supports that ability for us to choose the light.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm at that point completely not able to do anything else, right? Against the weight of my conditioning, I have to recruit something beyond it in order to be able to get out, within quotes.
Yeah. That's very much, you know, there's a place where I feel like, you know, I'm out of it, what that particular hornet's nest was, and I can see that how much this practice has helped to be able to just keep coming back to here, despite all some really difficult sensations, emotions, things going on, and also seeing different levels of my egocentricity, of the egocentricity hold that's been there, and that is, and then that takes to the shame place, and then just seeing okay, but that's not me.
Yes, that's not what I need to choose.
That's not what I need to choose. Yeah.
Yes. So we go through the curriculum of life, right? Encountering what we need to transcend. And for the first 150,000 times we do it, it's really believable, and we believe it's all about me. And then as we disidentify, there's a growing sense of, okay, that's a pattern.
Yeah.
And I'm actually not stuck in the pattern.
Right.
I am able to, in fact, I've watched myself get out of that pattern so many times.
Yeah.
And so it is possible.
Yeah.
To do so.
And there's an identity, too, that goes with the depth of ignorance in this being. It's like there's a sort of, that's really the truth that gets presented in that dark time. And
The depth of the identification with what we're not.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I am, and just riding through it all.
Well, and you started it with a beautiful statement, I'm here, right? Which is such an unconditional statement. It's not I'm here and I'm happy, or here I'm unhappy, or I'm here. I'm here. This is there's no attribute to that, right? So there's a total acceptance of, okay, the circumstances might be difficult, the sensations might be difficult, I might be in the dark room, but I'm here.
Yes, and there's just one piece there that I just see right now around silence and how when you were talking about being here, and it's like there's such a wonderful here-ness that has that's silence. That's not very articulate. But,
yes, but the word we use here is emptiness, right?
Right, but also this is the place, the question, I guess, too, around that, where I see silence in not participating. There's a kind of, that's part of the silence is also safety, I guess, from an ego form or from an ego place. And that is, and that's where there's some, a little bit of joy of, okay, I'm participating. That's the silence that's not helpful.
That's exactly right. So we do know what the distinction is between a suppression being made to be silent, which is an ego place, and that place that you're pointing to, which is true silence, which is the absence of ego from which participation will take the most appropriate form.
Aha, lovely, lovely, yeah. Yes. So, aha, thank you.
Thank you.
Can't remember exactly how you said it, but it was something like, well, this is what I got. A definition of the dark room is deep or total identification with what we're not. That's what the dark room actually is. I just never put that together before until you said, I don't know exactly how you said it, but it was along those lines. It was either the, the depth of it or the complete. That's it. When I'm completely identified with what I'm not, it's dark.
Yeah.
Ego is ugly.
It is. It is. And I project right, Sherry. All of what we practice is to have the light of awareness come through in that, right? Where we reach the quarter, we look up at the sky, something reaches out to us, because even in the depths of those that darkness, our practice, our training is what rescues us, right? Which draws us out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the briefest redirect of attention to here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I just love it because it's in meditation. As soon as I wander, whatever brings me back is always going to bring me back to here.
Yes, because it's always here. It's so
it's
handy.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Melissa from Alaska.
Well, hello, Melissa.
Hello. So, of course, this assignment came at the perfect time.
I know.
And I feel like there's a piece of karma that is just so, such a workshop. And I just got it, like, doubled this week with a whole nother situation. And it's kind of funny because it's with my ex-husband, who's the father of my kids. So I kind of thought I was getting rid of this when we got the divorce. But 18 years later, it's like totally back. And I love him, and I want to support him, but it puts me back into this workshop. And I'm seeing so many things. I guess like there are two things that I wanted to bring up. One is when I was initially meeting, you know, with him to talk about how I could support him, it was like a 3.5-hour meeting, and I just walked out of there so, I don't remember ever being so drained of energy. And I definitely was back into the karma conditioned mind at that time, and it's just this huge challenge, and this is the exact same challenge I face with my daughter, and yeah, so, and I remember.
God, isn't that helpful, though, Melissa? I think that's what you've gotten to, right? I mean, yeah. It's so perfect. It's like, I've got this problem. I know who he is. I'm going to get rid of him, and then I'm rid of the problem, right?
Exactly.
Huh. Well, it just doesn't work that way, does it? Because, of course, the problem was me, right? And and then you get to see, and it's the same karma, same thing I've got going with my child. So,
yep.
Okay, well, then we don't have to wonder where it is. And the other thing, Melissa, that to me is so helpful about it is having such clarity about how draining it is.
Yeah.
That when we are in the presence, when we are giving attention to that karma, it drains the life force out of us.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And it's such a process. I mean, I know I've seen other changes in my life when I identify with something, and then maybe a year later I'm like, oh, I used to really identify with that. I'm not at all, like charged by it. Like, this piece of karma, I feel like it's more like I chip. And the change I just talked about, sometimes I'm not even aware that I, like, transform that. But this piece of karma is like, I feel like I just kind of chip away at it. And there's not, like,
I'm seeing. I would say that has been the case. Right? So for 18 years or whatever it is, you've been chipping away at it, right? And it's gotten better and better and out of sight, out of mind. Really, you know, there's something to be said for it, right? And now you're ready really to face it head on. And so here it is. You don't have to keep chipping away at it. You have tools. You have everything you need to get to the other side of this. And you will, because here it is, and the time is right, and you're ready. And I'm not saying it's going to be a particularly good time or a lot of fun or that there won't be some seriously bad moments, but the point is you're ready.
Well, and what was very encouraging to me that I heard you say was that just observing is transformation.
That's right. It's all you got to do. Just notice. Don't got to do nothing. Yep, just notice, just pay attention, just watch. And what the reason I'm so excited for you is that it's an attitude of mind and heart that shifts. And that's what enables us to turn the attention, to be able just to notice, to be curious and interested and not identified with ego, with its, oh God, right? And so you're just, you're interested in how does this work? What's holding this together?
Yeah, and when you said heart, like there's times in the last few days that I have just had this overwhelming love coming out in the midst of this situation that I've never had before. It's always been me, you know, egocentric stuff. And that overwhelming love just cuts it. It cuts it. It just eliminates.
It does. It just goes right through it, doesn't it?
Pieces of it. Yeah.
Yep.
But I had never seen that before.
And that's that love is you, right? And that's what all of this has been leading to, is for you to have an undeniable experience of your authentic nature.
Mm-hmm.
And to get to watch how that cuts through any level of suffering. All right. Well, you keep us posted.
I will. Thank you, Gacho.
All right. Thank you, Melissa. Gacho.
Thanks, Melissa. I love what you said, Sherry, that to have an experience of an undeniable experience of the love that we are. And that is what that shift of attitude that I think that's how you said it, is simply what transforms the karma. Because the story becomes so irrelevant compared to how I am within the story. And if I can access the love that is there, then it cuts through the suffering, because there is no sense of being not enough or something wrong. So the ability to navigate something like a difficult circumstance just becomes navigating a difficult circumstance. That's all.
Yes. Yes. And the proof is mm-hmm. what we've been sneaking up on. Mm-hmm. You know, we're told mm-hmm. it. We can sort of sense it. I've had some, and then we get to this point where we're ready to mm-hmm. have the proof.
Mm-hmm. Have the proof. Mm-hmm. And here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Tim from the Bay Area.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, it's just been another wonderful week, and perfectly timed for me too, as well, this topic. And I guess I was just it's just amazing that in the face of all of this karma and all this stuff where it feels like I wake up and I'm already in it, just that the choice is still made to practice. Like, there's still a choice throughout all this time that the practitioner still turns towards the practice, you know, or there's some sense of willingness. Because with what was said about the dark room, I really resonated with. It's kind of like this complete takeover with something that's not me, and the suffering is really immense. But yet, in the face of all of that, there is still some sort of willingness, right, that, like, I don't want to, I don't have the words, but it's like, that's not the deal. Yeah.
And Tim, you're segueing beautifully into the next line of the recitation, right? Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. So here we have, right down to, we've practiced the practices, the blessings, the submission, the karma, and we arrive at this place of being astounded that despite the karma, there is the ability to recruit the willingness, which just brings us to our knees at the power of love that is the sort of motive power of life, right? Life. And so then we go back to the first bead, Dharma, which is the joy of intelligence knowing itself is what is propelling everything. And that is what's available. And as soon as we turn to a practice and practice choosing willingness over unwillingness, then we're on that track of love. And we've just harnessed the entire energy of the universe, which is what we are, right?
Well, yeah, and the threat of, for me, with that conditioning, the threat of isolation, it's the opposite of what is true. There are so many things that are, life is on my side. It's like we never ask, ask why. But the why is kind of revealed anyway. Mm-hmm. Because this is who I really am. I want to participate. Yes. I am participation. Mm-hmm. I am everything that the ego tells me that I am not, you know. And
two things to reflect that. One is something that Cherry said recently that was so interesting, right? That ego is always a drive towards separation. It's a separation from who we are. So the coming back is, to link that to what Dogen said, right? Why do we practice if we're already enlightened? Because we're the only ones who don't know it. So you're right. As soon as I practice, the answer is given to me, because that's who I really am. It's a coming home. And that's what I get to choose. And that's what I realize I want to choose as soon as the false, what I want, dissipates.
Yeah. Right?
Which is a process.
Yeah. And I just, it just dropped in. That's why this has always been the best deal in town for me, is it happens in an instant. It happens in a moment. It's not a, it's not a like take this medication and wait 2 weeks for it to kick in, right? I have deeply experienced pivoting from darkness to light, you know.
And then it's just there.
It's just there. Like, I don't have to be like, well, what about all that time that I spent there? No, it's gone. That is gone. And I am here. And then everything changes. Everything I touch, every interaction I have changes in that moment.
Yeah. Every interaction changes in the moment. Yes,
because we pivot to light
because we are the light, right? Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. It's just waking up is, I think, a perfect description of it. Like, oh, I'm here. What next? So.
What now?
Thank you so much. Okay, go happy.
You too.
Okay, I had to start clapping and do a little cheering during that conversation, and the. What I saw is a very fun exercise for anybody who wants something to do this weekend, and that is make a list of everything that ego says you are and know, as Tim just said, that the reason that that's being said is because it's the opposite of what is true. So it says you are this. And then we can write down what the opposite of that is and get a nice long list of what we actually are.
I'm going to do that, definitely.
Isn't that fun? I'm going to do that, too. Okay. I hope everybody does. All right. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. And we have our willingness assignment
final.
Coming out at noon. Our final assignment. Oh, my gosh.
Oh. All right. Very exciting. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Go happy.